If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I hope you had a stunning Thanksgiving surrounded by friends and or family. And if not, I hope you enjoyed some relaxing solo time and also treated yourself to something special. It's the holidays after all. Like, live a little, indulge yourself. You get a resolution reset in just over a month anyway. So you're good. Just like I did a State of the Union of sorts on Taylor Swift, a check-in on all things Housewives, and a pulse check on the longer-running, quote-unquote, younger Bravo shows in past episodes, I wanted to give another big cultural force in reality TV and beyond that same treatment. And yes, I'm talking about the Kardashians. I'm sure I just lost some people already, and that's totally fine, but I'm not going to make any apologies or excuses about not only generally liking them, but also just forever feeling like they are very much worth analysis and discussion and merit that kind of distinction in culture, because love them or hate them, their foothold on pop culture and fashion and whatever other world they decide to attach their names to is going nowhere. You know, they've sustained a level of influence that is totally unmatched and cannot be denied. So again, they're worth discussing. Whether you want to listen to that discussion or not is up to you, but it's happening anyway. And when planning this episode, there was one obvious person that I wanted to bring on as our first sort of Kardashian catch-up expert, Mariah Smith, who is one of the co-hosts of Smith Sisters Live on Sirius XM's Radio Andy. She used to write a Keeping Up with the Kardashians column for The Cut, and she also helped Andy Cohen with the Keeping Up with the Kardashians reunion special that aired after the series finale. She is just kind of generally a Kardashian savant, so I was very excited to pick her brain once again about the show, each individual sister, their businesses, relationships, the men in their orbit, the kids, and more. It was a fantastic discussion, and she even honestly changed my mind about a couple things, which I wasn't really expecting, but, you know, that's what it's all about. Anyway, enjoy my conversation about all things Kardashians with Mariah Smith, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I want to gab. All right, so today we're gabbing with Mariah Smith, who is the co-host of Smith Sisters Live alongside her two sisters on Sirius XM's Radio Andy. She's also a writer, and maybe she's tired of me bringing this up every time we talk, but she was also the creator of a fantastic column for The Cut called Keeping Up with the Continuity Errors, where she recapped Keeping Up with the Kardashians and broke down the fourth wall a bit on with the editing of the show. She also helped Andy with the Keeping Up with the Kardashians reunion special. And when I decided I wanted to do a Kardashians-focused episode, she was the first person who came to mind to discuss all things Kardashians. Mariah, thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me, and congrats on the new pod. This is so exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. And I know I always bring up continuity errors, but it's obviously relevant for today's discussion.
It is. Yeah. It's fine. I'm happy with it.
Up top, just to like kind of get the bona fides out of the way, What's your Kardashians origin story? Like, what were you just always a Keeping Up fan?
So here's the thing. That's a very interesting question because I feel like no one's ever asked me that way, because I feel like I've always known of them. They've always been just around, and like I truly don't remember a time where I didn't know who those people were.
Right.
But growing up, like in high school and college, I think I would like passively watch Keeping Up. But then when I graduated from college, my first television job as like an official employee was a production assistant on Best Week Ever, the reboot. And I was assigned the Kardashians to watch and the Steve Harvey show to watch. The Steve Harvey show, I wanted to truly lobotomize myself and my TV every time I watched it. But then the Kardashians, I got so invested, and right. It was around, I was 22. I didn't have cable yet. I don't know why I didn't get it, because I was working in TV, but I was like torrenting these episodes. I was doing all these things you shouldn't do. I was like, oh, this is it. This is a good show. And then I started noticing the continuity errors, because while I was in Best Week Ever, I was in edits all the time. So I was getting more of a keen eye on like what it takes right. to make a TV show and things like that. So that sort of is how I feel like I got my feet wet. Because even before continuity errors, I was just more invested. Like my friends and I, my coworkers, would always be on the Daily Mail seeing like, well, what is Kim today? That's when Kylie was dyeing her hair all the time. And when she was into like heavy
Snapchat
metal
era.
Stuff.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, the Snapchat era, the Keek or Kick, whatever era. I don't know. But I'm like, it was just I feel like that was that to me is the heyday of the Kardashians.
Yeah.
The,
yeah. I think that's where there was like an inflection point, I think, to like in terms of like their dominance over culture and things like that. Like it really permeated like all social media. Okay. So you were always sort of like a casual fan, but then you kind of learned the language of like production and stuff like that. And so that's what took it to the next level. Are you partial to one of them? Have you historically been like a bigger fan of one of them over the others?
I am probably like, if I go back into the history, it's Khloé all day, every day, top tier. She's
good
my number
choice.
One. But I also have such an affinity towards Kris Jenner. I think she is I'm like, you know what? She has to be my baseline favorite, because without her, there's no one.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. She's been such like a steady presence. Like, it's like, you know
a
what
steady.
I mean? Like, she's so steady, and she's just so dependable. The look hasn't changed too much.
The look hasn't changed. And like,
it's elevated.
Honestly, I tell people, I'm like, say what you will about them, but Kris Jenner does fly under the radar.
She doesn't
put herself and her business like on the forefront. She truly is in a support role, and I love that. And she just happens to be so fabulous that she is still an A-lister
exactly.
despite being a support.
Exactly. And it's like, if any of the other people in her family were dating Corey Gamble and had this sort of like interesting setup that they clearly have, that would be scrutinized a lot more. But she is able to get kind of get a pass, and it's really, all things considered, her relationship with Corey Gamble is not super scrutinized, like just compared to, you know what I mean, which is really interesting.
And like, they've been together now, when you think about
it,
for so long, and it feels like forever, but also it's like a new relationship for me. I'm like, oh yeah, they just started dating.
I know nothing about the relationship, I feel like, really
nothing. And I'm always shocked when I see a photo of them. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's still happening.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Right, okay,
exactly.
Huh.
And like, nothing against it. I just am so, it's curious, you know?
I'm not thinking about it. I'm not actively
totally.
Thinking about it.
I
and
agree.
That to me is the mark of someone. Yeah,
that's
I am
what she
still.
Wants.
That's what she wants. That's what she wants. But I love when they go on their little Italy trips and I get to see them
same.
Frolicking. But it's,
totally.
She is everything.
Uh-huh. And then before we get into sort of the show and each sister, you also used to work for Watch What Happens Live, which that's sort of how you, I think, first got connected to Andy Cohen. And he asked you to help him with the Keeping Up reunion that he did when the show ended before they went to Hulu. And just explain your part in that and just sort of what your involvement was, because that was a pretty big television event, I would say.
Yeah. So I had worked with Andy for a while at Watch What Happens. And I think, yeah, at this point I had moved to LA already. So I was working in narrative television. So I wasn't working with him. But I think that was also, I have my radio show on Radio Andy. And Andy always knew, even before I think I worked at Watch What Happens, when I was working at Fashion Queens, he knew that I was just sort of like a Kardashians savant. And I, when we did the first round of Watch What Happens live shows in Los Angeles, I was on the research team. So what we did at Watch What Happens is that we came up with the games. We would come up with maybe sort of, if there were callers, like help them craft the best question for the guest. We would help just give Andy insight onto who the guest is and like what things would be interesting, whatever. So I really helped with that episode when Kim Kardashian was in LA. Mm-hmm. And like that to me was one of my crowning moments of my career in both my personal life. And I think Andy, I would just, hopefully he appreciated that. But then I just always was talking with him about it and like just always passionate, like interested in it. And he, you know, it was just fun. But I had moved out of that space, that sort of production space. But he was like, if I'm doing this reunion, you have to do it. And I said, okay, I'm here. You got me. I will. I did it on the side from my writing jobs. I said, this is what
it's important.
It's important work. It's like, honestly, it's the work that I feel like I've been building to. So
it's the culmination. It's the culmination of a lot of the stuff you've been doing. Yes.
Yes. So I worked closely with the Keeping Up with the Kardashians production team. So people who had been working on that show for decades at that point. And it was sort of like they had we all had the show lore and history, but they had more of like, this is how this, you know, family member will respond. This is probably what their comfort zone is with certain topics, that sort of thing. But came up with all the questions, did all of the packages, did everything that sort of had to, everything had to do with the creative of it.
It really, in so many ways, the dream job, I feel. It's the dream gig. So, I mean, that was the end of Keeping Up. And so we're after a brief hiatus from having a show, they obviously went to Hulu. They have this huge deal. There's several seasons into that, several years into that whole, this run. How are you feeling about the Hulu show? And have you noticed them, you know, doing things any differently from like, even just from the beginning of the Hulu show till now? Like, have they adjusted? Are they leaning into different directions than they were at the beginning of this Hulu run?
I think they are. And I think it was very clear what I was really like eager to see when the Hulu show first came out was, well, two things. First, when they initially said they were going to do the Hulu show and moving to streaming, their biggest sort of talking point was that it's going to be more of a live-to-tape experience of, like, whatever is happening in the news, you're going to see it on the show basically a few weeks, a few months later, because for whatever reason, I think, I don't know who was telling them this info, that streaming had just, like, a shorter production timeline. It's, like, it's still going to be, it's television. And so we did have still long timelines leading up to, you know, things that, what we saw on air versus what happened in real life, and also because they're so present in the news, it's, like, there's you're never going to be able to catch up unless they're on Instagram Live every single day. I love, how beautifully it was shot. It was more leaning into the docu-series of it all rather than a reality show. It felt a little bit more inclusive, I'd say. It's like, I loved watching the first two episodes and they would turn to the camera and talk or like talk to production in the moment. And it was given sort of when the Housewives are now.
Yes.
It's one of the beautiful things of the breaking of the fourth wall. It's giving Bravo, Bravo, fucking Bravo. It's like all these things. And I think they were trying to do that. And honestly, Teen Mom did it first back in the day when they started breaking the fourth wall with their producers. But I think I really love that. But one thing that I've seen is instead of, because it's sort of impossible, as I mentioned, to catch up with what's happening currently in the news, they've used it more as a tool to revisit big news items. Like this season with the whole Tristan conversation, even with the sister fights, like all these things that have been marquee moments for the family. They're now like, we can go, it's almost like a director's cut of what happened.
Right, totally. It's almost like, we have not resolved this as a family.
Yes,
it's sort of like acknowledging that. And that's the excuse to have the conversation versus like, this is the conversation that happened right after it happened, sort of thing.
Exactly. It's more of like, this is, you know, this is real. And I'm like, to be fair, I come from a big family with a lot of sisters and a lot of like, just people in and out. Once you're done with something, you're done with it. Like we're not having these conversations. Like when I see, and I, to be honest, I don't watch the show regularly now. Like I'll catch up on when I can and I'll do like a binge, but I'm not there every week because I'm like, I know what is going to happen. And for me, the show is more now about style over substance. And it's less like hokey, but it does lean into the fact that they're not all that interesting, but that without the big, you know, fillers of the storylines, which I, that part of me appreciates that, but then that also means that I feel more comfortable
there's
to take
to
my
watch.
Time with it.
Yeah, there's less to, yeah, totally. There's less urgency. And I think one thing that I have top of mind when I watch is like, they obviously have final edit, they're producers of the show, and that's, you know.
And now Kylie and Kendall are producers, and they were never producers on Keeping Up.
They've also alluded to several times, especially with the Kim and Courtney stuff, of like how watching back the edits, you know, after filming can kind of reignite some of their like inherent issues as a family. But sometimes they like let things into the show that, you know, on first glance, you might be surprised they let into the show when you consider the fact they have final edit. And I feel like that's a delicate balance that they must be playing with of like, okay, we can let in whatever we want to let in and we can keep out whatever we want to keep closer to the chest. But we also need to make sure that we're giving the public enough substance and enough content to like keep them interested. What do you make of that balance? And like, because I feel like the Kim and Courtney stuff was sort of like them leaning into like, okay, we have to give drama, we have to give this, but then there are other things we don't see at all, you know.
I think that is a fair point. And I do remember, I think even when we were producing the reunion, it's like that sort of fine line of like, well, what things would they be okay with, because at the end, and they, I don't think they had as much like say with the final edit, but it was still, you want to be conscious and aware of that. But
of course,
I think one thing that comes to mind is I feel like what I appreciated about them is they don't cut as much as we think they cut. And they are pretty good at, and this is also beyond just doing that, this is like, they're very good at keeping things sort of like a stack. They know, people know what's going on, and they know there's so many moving parts, and people have harped on so deeply, like, we know when you're phoning it in, we know when you're trying to cover up a real life story by putting in this fake, you know, art vandalay type thing, like, like they're for better or worse, their viewership has been with them forever and are pretty savvy. So I think they also know it gives them better press and good grace when they leave in the things that don't make them look the best. But on the other hand, I also think they can use people like Tristan, who has done them so filthy, dirty, rotten, and are like, listen, this is your time now to be in the hot seat because we're tired.
Totally. Yeah, that sort of goes into my next question, which is like, what purpose does the show serve for them as being the central vehicle for everything else? Like, you know, I mean, even when you think back to, again, that brief period, like a year, maybe a year and a half when they didn't have a show, I feel like it was honestly just like a year. It wasn't that long.
It was only less than a year.
Right, it was less than a year. What purpose does the show serve? Is it that? Is it like kind of just getting these narratives like corrected, or is it emotional?
I think it's sort of both, because they honestly, and they've probably said it before, they don't need the show. The show does nothing to elevate their status or elevate any of their brands. Like, they have that down. The show is basically their legacy brand. They've been grandfathered into reality. So it's like, why stop it? They're so used to it, whatever. But I also think it does give a level of, especially now, it gives more level of humanity to them. And it gives more of a level of, you know, we're not seeing, they could easily fall into the, I would say, like, and now no one cancels me, the Taylor, Beyonce, Rihanna of it all, where they are very, you know, always in the news, but they don't comment that much on their lives. They're not talking that much. They could easily fall into that and still be just as successful and give us what we think is like an open book on social. But with this show, it makes them feel a little bit more accessible and homely and down to earth and one of the people.
Yeah, so, I feel
I
like
that's what it does.
The operative word or phrase you just used there is what we think is an open book. You know, it's like, if you really think about their social media now, like they don't do that much like direct like to camera. They don't do that much. Like it's not when Kylie was on Snapchat, like we alluded to earlier.
No, it's all ads.
It's all ads. It's all the brands. And so I agree. It's like, that is what honestly so many other celebrities are missing. You're right. It's like they don't have, it brings the humanity. And I want to go through each sister. So like, let's start with Kim, who it feels like she's honestly been turbocharged over the past like month and a half of just like career-wise. It's like since early October, I looked back on her Instagram. It's been American Horror Story, the cover of Fortune, launching Skims Men, the nipple bra, NBA partnership, North's first magazine cover, the Swarovski collaboration, Skims Holiday, GQ Men of the Year cover. And then now it just came out that she's producing and starring in like a comedy, like a new comedy film or something.
Yes.
What do you think explains like the, you know, the sudden velocity of her career? Is it like the lack of personal drama happening? Is it the lack of relationship? Is it gearing up to something else? What do you think?
I think that it truly is a combination of a lot of those things. So first, I want to start with the most recent, the movie that she's doing.
Yes.
And it's, I believe, written by Paula Pell, who's a former SNL writer, an amazing comedian, amazing writer. And this is like, this is big time. Like, this is something that you really can't, and also it's The Weeknd is involved, and we all know people are going to be watching closely on his next like, it's all crazy. So I think that is a virtue of the writers and strike just in it's, we're getting more entertainment news. SAG strike is, that deal is being ratified. So she feels more comfortable. People feel more comfortable putting this out in the open more because it hasn't peaked as many radars as I would assume it would, but it still is like, it's still kosher, you know, be talking about it. But also with the other things, I look back with the Skim success of it all. She had a collaboration with the Olympics, I think, in
last Summer Olympics.
Yeah, and it was like an amazing Skims collaboration. I was like, oh, okay, so I think this NBA thing and all this stuff has been in the works for quite some time, and her being the NBA partner, which is like, someone explained it to me who knows sports, which is like,
it's big time.
The biggest thing you could possibly do.
It's huge.
I think that is something that was a springboard for all of the other things, and she's had great relationships with all these other brands, but that put her low-key on the serious map more so than she's ever been, especially with Skims. And speaking of Skims, they are I feel like a walking advertisement for them. I don't care if I didn't know who Kimberly was. Skims is a brand
that is
doing the work, okay? Mm-hmm. The quality is amazing. The clothes are amazing. So it's not just her. It's actually a quality product. And you can't really say that for all of the other brands. Like, I love Good American, but I take Skims over it any day.
Sure. Yeah. And it's like, I think she's done a good job of the delicate balance of having, of her being the face of Skims, but also utilizing so many like really smartly timed, you know, spokespeople or
the Mahomes,
the two women from The White Lotus last year earlier this year for Valentine's Day. Cardi B was in a recent thing. Like, she's done a really good job of that, of balancing that too. It's not only about her all the time, which is, I think, important for I'm wearing Skims men's right now. Like, you're
wearing the Skims hoodie right now. Yeah,
come on.
It's crazy.
We're serious about it. I alluded to like the, right now there's sort of a lack of personal tabloidy stuff from Kim, which is, I think, a welcome change, I think, for her for right now. Like, it was like the Kanye stuff, then it was Pete Davidson, then it was just like the Courtney stuff. She's tested out a few like potential relationships, I would say, like via the media, which is Tom Brady and Odell Beckham. Yeah. Like, those were kind of sprinkled in at some points this year, but they didn't really catch on. Why do you think those didn't work? And who do you sort of envision working for her in the future? Like, who do you picture her with?
You know, I think those, for me, from what I can, you know, glean and how I feel she's discussed her relationships and talked about them in the past, and like where her headspace is in, you know, coming out of this very public divorce with someone who is just chaotic, I think she's been prioritizing fun, but she is someone who's routinely said she and Chloe have always been like, they love being in love. They're the type of people who, it may start as something casual, but you love that feeling. Like, you want to continue. If you're getting that, you know, serotonin boost, like, why not keep going? But I think that with these other relationships, it's like, she's someone who takes everything she does so seriously. And I don't think she takes herself seriously, which was something I do love about her, but she takes everything she does so seriously, whether it be a businesswoman, a mom, a sister, a producer, whatever. And I think she does wanted that levity in her life. And these relationships aren't things she would take seriously. Like, I think it's just a little bit fun. Like,
it's,
I don't
ever
see a world where she's with Tom Brady for
long term. Oh my God, no.
I honestly, like, when back in a few years ago, when there was the rumors that she was dating Van Jones, I believe, it's like, I see her more with someone like that.
Yes,
like,
I kind of liked that.
I loved that. I'm like, I want that. And I think that's what she wants. But then at the end of the day, she's one of the coolest girls in the world. So she does want a cool person.
I know.
So not that Van Jones isn't cool, but like, it would be something that's like, I can see her either with a, going, you know, like she did with Pete, like 15 to 20 years her junior or 15 to 20 years her senior, someone who is literally that guy. If it's gonna be someone who's not in the like political or commentator or talking head space, and this is maybe a pipe dream, because I think he's so fine, it would be like a Brad Pitt, something like that.
Totally.
Like, something like someone who is It's not going to be a civilian. It's going to be someone who is equally, if not more, famous and
not threatened by her fame.
Someone who has a family, probably. Like, it's going to be that type of vibe.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's why, like, the Taylor Travis stuff works, is because they're not threatened by each other.
No.
You know, I want to talk about Chloe next, who is, I think I might have said this before, but she's the one to me who benefits the most from the show, because when it's not on, she kind of gets flattened in the media. And all she's written about is just via Tristan or like her appearance. And it's just like, that's all we hear about from her via the media. And but the show reminds us that she has this amazing personality. She can be the funniest and the most likable. And she's kind of has the best relationship with all her sisters, sort of like, if you think about that. I guess, like, what do you think about, like, where Chloe is, like, career-wise and, like, image-wise? Because it's, I think it's interesting. Like, I don't think she has the same level of, like, ambition as Kim, obviously. Like, nobody really does. But I kind of feel like she just wants to, like, sort of, like, maintain and build Good American, like, have the show and be a mom. Like, is that, do you agree with that?
I agree. I totally agree. And I think that, like, again, with Chloe, I do think that some of the work she's done, like, I, you know, raved about Skims. I did mention Good American. I do, I just want to be fair, love Good American. And one thing that I love about them is that they were, I believe, the first brand to have online a, like, samples, a photo of all models of all different sizes wearing their clothes. So they were someone, they were one of the first brands to do that like, made that popular. So I'm like, that's something that actually changed the landscape of merchandise and merchandising, digital shopping. So I think that she is a little bit more focused on that side of things and is doing, I would say, slightly like light, low key work to transform things from the inside.
Right,
and also while
totally.
Having an amazing thing. And also Kim's done things, has had accessible garments, and that's amazing. But I think she is more focused on that business mode model. Cause like you said, she does do the Skims thing where she has other people model her clothes, and she has the open casting calls. She has celebrities. She has the group, you know, she has those things, but it's a little bit more, we see her more in the garments, and that's what sells it a lot.
Right.
But I also think she knows that her bread and butter is her relationship stuff. And part of the reason we have Tristan so heavy on the show, I think, is to almost put that to bed. Because, like, we're getting every episode, we're getting so many things and so many clarifications out. We're getting sides of the stories. We're getting all this sort of 360 view. So she's like, once that's done, I then see her dipping her toe back into the dating realm because she feels free of this negative press.
Yes. And like there was a conversation on this season of the Kardashians, which she had with Chris about, or she's had actually several kind of really kind of interesting conversations with Chris, but the one about her career, which was like, what do I do next? Or like, whatever. And I think she's kind of planting the seed for that while simultaneously, I think you're right. Like, I think some people I've seen like be like, why is Tristan so heavily on the show? Like, are they sort of like trying to soft launch again? I think it's the complete opposite. I think it's what you said. I think it's, we're putting that to bed. Like there's nothing going on here. And then they also show like the thing with his brother who's just disabled and like she's helping to care for him. And like, I think that she's proving that like they are in her life for a reason and it's not romantic.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's the Scott edit. It's like trying to prove that this is a person who, and we all forget, Scott did Courtney dirty. Like he's put that woman through the ringer, whether it was on Keeping Up or whether it was any of the takes, whatever city. Like that has been a messy situation and it's been highly publicized, but not as highly publicized as the Tristan stuff. Because again, Tristan, what he did is awful.
Yes.
But I think she's showing that this is a platonic whatever, and we all know that even the most platonic relationships in that family get a little squirrely at times with even the sex talk between Chloe and Scott, no matter how
they'll never get past that.
You're never beating those allegations, and they need to be held accountable.
That part.
And I'm like, that I think is they're trying to do something like that, whether we like it or not. They're showing that he's here, but not for the reasons you think.
Exactly. Courtney just welcomed her fourth child, first with Travis Barker. She's doing Lemmy. I think she's doing Poosh, even though we never hear about it anymore.
We never hear about it anymore.
Which is so interesting. Where are you landing with Courtney these days?
Courtney, I actually have gone back and forth on in these past months, even, I would say. I love that she has found this love and, like, you know, welcoming the baby, all that stuff. But I truly can't. Every time I'm reminded and I hear again of how Travis wrote about Kim in his book and that relationship and whatever happened there and it just all sorts of things. And then saying he moved to Calabasas for Courtney because he was in love with her before. I'm like, there are just things that concern me. Yeah. And it makes me feel a little bit, it just not good, because like I do understand people's theories and, you know, critiques and concerns about how Courtney throws herself into the aesthetic of the person she's dating. And it's very much, and that's also like, yes, Travis is like the vegan wellness rock king, whatever, but that doesn't necessarily fit in with Poosh. So that's maybe why Poosh has fell a little bit to the wayside.
I think you're right.
And also the vitamins make more money. So even though it's not really as rock, like as, you know, alt as she would like, it might, it's selling out on Amazon.
It's a product.
So why not keep it? Yeah,
exactly.
It's a product. Like it is, it, that part concerns me. And like even her saying she never wanted to get married and she got married to him very quickly, even though I know those things can change. Like it all is just questionable.
Yes.
Not saying that they're not in love and not having the time of their life. I just always, when a woman sort of loses themselves and their partner, I it makes you think.
And it's the PDA of it all was really, I think, a sign to me that like there's something they were trying to prove, or she was trying to prove something, I think. And it was doing too much in the way that sort of, I think, to me, like I'm happy for them. They seem to really be in a solid relationship and really like and really love each other. But like there is something that doesn't fully click in it for me. Like I've never fully shipped them, because it, I don't think that she's being herself. I don't think that she's, there's like, there is sort of like, I think maybe Kim or Chloe said it in one of the episodes about the Kim and Courtney stuff in one of those discussions, which is like, there is sort of like a sadness that emanates from her sometimes recently. And like, it feels, I don't know. It's like not, she doesn't have like the same level of like, I used to love her for her dry humor and her like, you know, I would laugh about with Courtney, and like, I don't laugh when she's on screen anymore. It's so serious.
It's very heavy.
Yes.
Everything is heavy, and everything is, it almost goes to, like you said, with the PDA of it all, it's like she, I think, is, first, I would say the sister struggles, I can tell, are very real. And I think that is weighing on all of them deeply. And I think her reaction is to almost, and retaliate's not the right word, but sort of like swing in the opposite direction. And try, like you said, the PDA is like trying her own complete different sort of aesthetic, public image and vibe. And also trying to prove, I think, to get ahead of the stories of, he really is in love with me. You may have thought he wanted to have Kim, but no, clearly he wants me. It's like that sort of, even if it's conscious, subconscious, whether it's for the public, for her sisters, for her family, because I don't care what her sisters are saying publicly, those conversations were had. Those conversations of,
absolutely,
you realize what this man said and did,
absolutely,
and how he's behaving, that is no acts like that. That's not something that went, you know, unsaid.
No.
So that, I think it's a mix of private conversations, having a public reaction and consequence, and now with the show we're getting a little bit more of the private consequence of those private conversations that haven't been made public. So it's all that makes it more confusing, because there's always a missing piece.
That was in the group chat they have without Courtney.
Yes, no Courtney.
Right, Kendall. To me, like, it's interesting because, you know, 818 has to be genuinely one of the more successful Kylie Jenner brands. Like, I feel like it's infiltrated like
mainstream,
the world in a way that's like, again, it's not super attached to her, I wouldn't say. I mean, like, it is, but you know, it's not, you don't always see her face there. She does the modeling when she wants to. Mm-hmm. She's clearly in no rush to settle down. She's always like riding a horse. Like,
yes.
I find that it's like, it's kind of refreshing to me that she doesn't kind of have a huge game plan for herself.
Right.
She is kind of go with the flow. Like, I do get annoyed by her sometimes, but like, I do like the kind of, you know, we talked about Courtney going in a different direction that kind of seems inauthentic. I think with Kendall, it actually does seem authentic that she's like kind of going against the grain with her family. Do you get that same vibe from her? And like, where are you landing with Kendall?
I think I do get that vibe. And I always, you know, I feel like sometimes I get a little soapboxy about a lot of things, but about Kendall in general, because people always do say she goes against the grain, but I think she goes, and she's in that grain, because everyone, even with the aesthetic and all this, it's like,
you're right,
it's very much, it almost is like smoke and mirrors. Everyone's like, Kendall's never had anything done. It's like, well, if you really look back, anyone
have
can do whatever
the
they want.
Right.
Have you seen, just even the, there's, I even read the other day, someone had mentioned like there's an athletic BBL. There are things you can do that are like giving you these looks and vibes
slightly
and figures
enhanced,
and slightly enhanced, that God have at it. God bless you.
More power to you.
Yeah, totally. I truly don't care. I'm like, if you're trying to add that into the discourse and then also separate her by saying she's a better one for not doing X, Y, and Z. It's like, mm-hmm. No. There's no better or
that's
worse.
That's unfair.
And yeah. Also, this is just a different side of the exact same coin. And I do think she follows the same brand model that all of her sisters do. When you look at all of their social presence, she probably posts the most about her personal life on Instagram, even just photos of she's done.
With Hailey and all those. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She is actually giving more to the audience than would assume she's doing. And it's less businessy curated. And I don't think that's any mistake. I don't know exactly why, because like you said, she's not as forward facing with 818. And speaking of that, we know it's doing well because you see it in bars. I've seen it in dive bars and it has nothing to do with her. It's like, that means it's being sold and marketed and picked up in a way that is extremely, extremely mainstream.
Yeah. And I think the thing about alcohol is that like a lot of the sales, like this is so nitty gritty, but like it mm-hmm. has to be done sort of on the ground because you have to like go into places and like convince them to pick it up. Mm-hmm. Like you can't really do it in the same like kind of D2C way. Mm-hmm. And she's not doing that. So somebody else is doing that for her. Yeah. And like, that's very smart.
Yeah. So I'm like, it truly is amazing. Even also the Bad Bunny of it all. It's like this is her first, aside from, I forget the name, the basketball player. It's more public than that basketball player. It's more, she may as well have done a cover story.
Right.
With
they did that like Gucci ad campaign.
The Gucci
or something
ad.
Like that.
Yeah.
But why do you think she won't confirm it ever? Like I don't think she's like ever confirmed a relationship.
No. Cause I think she doesn't feel she ever has to. I think she's not one who feels that. I think that's sort of like a ground she stands on that no matter what, she won't break. And it's just like, okay, everyone knows, who cares? And then at that point, it's like, well, why does she need to confirm if everyone knows?
Right. Yeah, you're right. It's just I think you're right. I think it's sort of like part of her brand and part of the work that she does is to make us think that she's going against the grain, make us think that she's like kind of like one foot in, one foot out, but she's 2 feet in.
She's two feet in. Because if she was 1 foot in, 1 foot out, she wouldn't be there at all.
Right, you're so right. You've convinced
that much to the show where they would be like, you have to stay. If she didn't want to be there, she wouldn't be there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Simple. She gets the best, but she does get the best of both worlds, I would say. Mm-hmm, she gets, totally. Okay, Kylie. Mm-hmm. You know, she's kind of like barely on the show, but
barely.
I will say like in the past 6 to 12 months, I've started to like really come around again to Kylie. I kind of was kind of indifferent to her for a little bit there. But like, there's a rebrand that we're in the midst of right now. Like she started going to Paris Fashion Week. She was working with like more couture designer brand. She's upped her fashion game.
Yeah.
I think that she's like a lot funnier on the show than she has been in a very long time. Like the vibes are, I'm getting good vibes from her. Are you in agreement with that? Are you thinking differently about her?
I am. I think like, I will say it took me a while to even like settle in my soul, the Timothy Chalamet of it all.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I like it because I would put him in the silly goofy bucket, and I also would put her in the silly goofy bucket, especially back in the day and like her Snapchat days and like all that. And I'm like, I think that brings out more just joy in even the work she does when she's having fun in her mm-hmm. relationships and personal life. But I also think she's sort of doing a low key, like with the new, especially the Kai drop and having these very limited drops, the made to order things, but that's still economically
affordable.
Accessible. Yeah, she is doing more of like, I would say, of what the Olsons did when they came out with the Row or something. Was it the Row or Elizabeth and whatever it is?
Elizabeth and James was first, and then they did the Row. It was sort of like the launching pad to that.
So I think this is what we're seeing. I think we're seeing like an Elizabeth and James sort of thing, and she's trying to test out the luxury branding because they're also, they can't do anything that's too luxury, especially to start, because then people will be like, you've lost touch more than you already have. Da, da, da. They have to do something that's at a decent price point, but also that seems high fashion, that seems like something she would actually wear, which it does seem like it fits the brand, even though all these things that they're doing, it's giving me that mesh bodysuit vibe and like old school Yeezy of everything's just spandex.
Yeah,
and whatever.
it's not as original as they're trying to like make it seem. Definitely
and it's not high fashion at this point.
No,
it's very much like almost the dregs of Fashion Nova, but with the juggernaut that is Kylie behind it.
Yeah, but I think you're right. And the Timothy stuff, it's like, he is funny, silly, but he also is high fashion too.
Yes.
Like he's always turning a look on a red carpet. And so they're kind of on the same page in certain
100%.
Respects, even though he's historically been like very private about his personal life. Like, so seeing them making out at the Beyonce concert was like kind of like made my head spin a little bit. I was like, I thought they would never do something like that. But I like that they kind of unexpectedly did that.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, like it took me a while to come around to them like you, but I'm into it kind of.
I am into it. It does fit. And it's like, I know they probably do have a lot to talk about, shockingly. And they are, it's like, they're both so young. They're both having fun. They're both hot. They're like, they're just living their lives. I'm like, there's honestly few people in this world. If Kylie Jenner or Timothy Chalamet wanted to go out with you, you're gonna say yes to both of them. So
exactly.
Let's be real. Exactly.
Yeah. And like seeing those paparazzi photos of her smoking cigarettes.
There's
I don't know. I have my eye on like what the build up to Kylie is. And I think that you might be right in terms of the end game for the fashion thing. And last thing about Kylie is like, we know we're seeing on the show right now, she just had this conversation with Tristan about everything that went down with Khloé and Jordan. And, you know, we've seen paparazzi photos of her and Jordan having dinner and she said that they're good. And, you know, Khloé said that she's good with Jordan. I don't know if it's wishful thinking, but I kind of think they're soft launching her to be brought back into the fold potentially. I don't know. I would hope that. I think that'd be smart of them, but I don't know. What do you think about like what sort of the end game is there?
I've thought about that and I wonder too, but I don't know if Jordan wants that because pivoted so deeply after this scandal. And honestly, it feels a little bit too little too lady. Like I love the fact that this friendship has mended, but what they did to her to assassinate her character and was one of the more cruel things I've seen happen in media. And I think that personally, I understand I get it. There are conversations, you've been friends so long, whatever. But with that happened with Jordan, her star has risen in a way that many people couldn't have imagined. Her goals and like the people she's more aligned with have changed and shifted, but we're still also seeing, like with the Hailey Bieber, her birthday trip, like Lori Harvey was there and there's some overlap there. And Jordan and Lori are very close and Jordan's still close with Stassi, like all these things. So I do think there's more room for maybe a group aspect of her on the show, but whereas her coming in and talking, unless it's something, if I were her, I'm thinking like that I'm really being given my flowers and my public apologies, I'm not doing it. And I think that's what's missing from this narrative. Like they can say all they want, we're cool at Jordan, we've done X, Y, and Z, but they treated her so poorly and publicly haven't corrected that to the extent at which if I'm Jordan, I would feel comfortable going on the show. And as a viewer, I don't feel comfortable with it at all.
Right. Totally. No, I think that's totally fair and completely correct. And I guess the one thing I would like think about is like for her, is there a way to like, and maybe this is not possible because again, they have final edit and everything and they control the scenarios, but like, is there a way for her to like tap into like the reach and power that they have while also doing it on her terms, like sort of like using them for the power, for the reach and power. And then like, but doing it on her own terms and like, you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah, I get what you're trying to say and I understand it, but I'm wondering like I think if it was anyone else, they would try, but she's been in that wheelhouse for so long. And also let's not forget her family, friends, her godparents are Will and Jada. So like she has been in this industry. Her mom, I think does PR as a lawyer or something. She knows how they work. She knows how they can get final edit. She's not going to put herself in a situation to potentially cause public or personal or emotional harm or distress.
Yeah. I think it's a more nostalgic. Yeah. It's like a nostalgia like want, but it's not. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's realistic. Mm-hmm. Okay. Last couple of things. I wanted to get a little bit into like the men of the Kardashian universe. We already talked about Tristan. The two that I'm curious for your thoughts on. One is Rob. I thought they were sort of soft launching Rob to be back more in the public facing fold because he did a FaceTime with Khloé at the end of last season. And it was sort of the first time we had seen him. They mentioned him probably like twice a season in passing.
Yeah.
Do you think that he just is never going to be sort of part of the machine again?
I think he's done. And I think that
I respect it.
I respect it. But I also think it's a sort of a mutual decision because he is a liability. Like, let's not forget he had the revenge porn case against Blac Chyna. And I still think that he like, he can't even legally have an Instagram page. So I think Chris runs. Like, he's something that it's very much an optics thing, because if he says or does the wrong thing, or if they miss something or put something in that could be taken the wrong way, it's opening those floodgates again. And the more he's in the media, we all know what they've gone through with Miss Angela White. Like, there are things that just you don't want to touch. Even when Chloe commented on Dream, it's like, there are things I think that is sort of a Pandora's box and they don't want to open it. And Rob also doesn't want to open it because he knows what comes with that and it's more attention. And they're just like, it's better to keep it all locked in.
He doesn't have it in him to kind of just, I think, to deal with the scrutiny and to play the game correctly.
No.
I think we saw that from the Robin China era.
What
do you think's going on with Scott? Like, he's popped up on the show more recently and he just sort of like does these one-off scenes with Chloe or Kim. I'm kind of confused about what they're going for there. Is it just a way to like keep him, give him a paycheck?
I think it's to keep him employed. Yeah, I think it truly is that. And I think he, because he's had those times where he's like, he feels, because of now, especially with the Courtney being married and now with the baby, she's fully moved on. And like, their kids are getting older and a little bit more self-sufficient. So it's not like you have to be as hands-on with the sort of communication with the co-parent, like all these things. I think it helps him feel included in the family, and it also, which is why I think they added Tristan, injects more male energy into the show.
Yes.
And they feel, for whatever reason, I don't think they need it, they feel that they need that. And like, Corey's not great TV and isn't going to give a lot, so it's like, I think they know these are the people that people care about most, so we may as well have them around a little bit. And again, Scott's always been the levity. It also helps people keep Scott's name alive and keep his brands alive. And at the end of the day, they do care about his business.
Of course. Yeah. And lastly, the kids, and I think it's going off Scott. It's interesting because we haven't seen Mason in a while on the show
and he's
13. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Mm-mm. There was like a recent paparazzi spotting of him. And I was like, oh, that reminded me that he clearly is like, actually doesn't want to have anything.
Yeah.
It's his choice probably to pull out of it. We see Penelope. We see Rain.
We see North even.
We see North all the time. Like, she's her mother's daughter.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like there was this narrative for a little bit there of like, you know, the kids are the next generation and like, they're all like, you're just kind of assuming they're all going to be part of it. And I think it's interesting to see a little bit more of a complex picture of to what that could look like as they get older.
Yeah. And I think it's also like, I am trying to think of any teenager I know, especially a teenage boy who was the first one of the fold who would want to be on this show. And he's probably like, leave me alone. Like,
exactly.
I don't want to, Courtney doesn't really post him as much as the other kids on social. I think, you're right, it's his decision. And I think also that's probably why people were so obsessed with finding his online presence in the past few years. Because it's like, he's the original, it's like, you know, everyone's little second cousin. And you're like, now where'd Mason go? I miss him. And I think people are obsessed with seeing this person we saw literally be born on TV grow up. But he's a 13-year-old boy and who is wealthy as he wants to be and is like, I don't need to be this famous.
Exactly. Well, Mariah, this has been great. Are there any last like lingering thoughts about the Kardashian-Jenners that you...
Oh my God.
Or is there anything that you're thinking about for like what they could be planning for in the future? Like, I think there's a lot of question marks for me in terms of what some of these like things are leading to, but...
I don't know. I think that, I'm not sure. I think anything that they do always makes sense and yet surprises me, but you've let me chatter on far too much, so you're now. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. And Mariah, when can people listen to Smith Sisters Live on Radio Andy?
You can listen to it Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on Channel 102 on Sirius XM.
Mariah, you and your sisters are great. Some of my favorite people. And thanks again for doing this. It's been much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.